Welcome back to the City That Never Sleeps podcast. My name is Josh, and I'm liking what we're doing here. I like to see it, a consistent flow going on with this podcast. I don't want to jinx anything, but I am excited for how I've been able to fit these episodes in, although they are on a kind of random order basis. It's still content, and I'm still getting out, and I hope you're enjoying listening. So, and I'm happy producing them. A nice consistent flow, consistent rhythm on this podcast is exactly what I wanted, what I hoped when I came back and recorded an episode in November, and we're continuing that so far through the beginning of December. So it's exactly what I like to see. What I also like to see is Knicks wins, and they have four in a row right now. So let's talk about it. Last time I recorded was after the Hawks win on Wednesday night, and there were two games the Knicks were going into until I really wanted to hop on here again because I got a little break now until midweek on Wednesday. I'm recording this Monday afternoon. The New York Knicks face the Charlotte Hornets on Friday, and what my main point was last episode was the Charlotte Hornets are, you know, it was kind of a similar situation to the Detroit Pistons game a few weeks ago because the Detroit Pistons are a very bad basketball team, and so are the Charlotte Hornets are not doing so well this season. So what I said was the Knicks should go into this game just like they did against the Pistons and get the job done. It should be pretty simple, pretty easy. And that's exactly what it was. The Knicks get a just almost 20-point victory. 121-102 is the final score. Yes, it was close, basically, in the first half. But in the second half, the Knicks were able to basically take over the game, outscoring the Charlotte Hornets 34-22 in that third quarter. Julius Randle finishing the game. He's been balling out recently at 33 points, two assists, and 7 rebounds in 36 minutes. RJ Barrett had 26 points, 4 assists, and 7 rebounds in 35 minutes. And that was really it when it came to scores. There were three players actually with 11 points. Quinn Grimes, Jalen Brunson, Emmanuel Quickly contributing the same amount of points there. Oh, also Isaiah Hartenstein got on the board with 11 points as well. And then the other game was going to be Sunday night that I missed. And that was just last night. And what I said was that's going to be a difficult matchup because the Sacramento Kings, not a lot of people really, if you're not looking at the standings all the time, notice this. But the Sacramento Kings have been pretty good this season. They're in the upper half of the Western Conference standings. And before the game last night, they were 14-10. Well, they are now 14-11 as the Knicks defensively once again get the job done, as well as putting it together on offense with a combined amount of points. Julius Randle, 27 points in the first half, gets ejected in the second half off of a missed foul call that he was looking for at the basket. Now, I don't want to get into anything crazy there, but Randle was complaining. He was yelling in the referee's faces, got the first technical and the second one within seconds of each other. I'm not going to harp on that. I think that was a good call. It is what it is with Randle. Luckily, his points contributed to a win, but imagine with 27 points just in the first half, in 27 minutes exactly, then in the second half, who knows what he could have gotten to in that game. We never will know. RJ Barrett finished again with 27 points, 6 assists, and 9 rebounds. He had to step up when it came to minute length. He played 44 minutes in that game. Quentin Grimes played 42 minutes, but not that much in the points total-wise. Only had 7 points in 42 minutes. Mitchell Robinson, 12 points in 19 minutes. And Isaiah Hartenstein stepped up again in this game. He had the more minutes than Mitchell Robinson. He had 26 minutes, 4 points, and 9 rebounds to show for it. Hartenstein has been a nice center that has come off the bench and helped this Knicks team with his offensive and defensive rebounding skills. Same thing with Robinson. That is another key point to these Knicks winning. Their second chance opportunities created, their second chance points. Maybe it's Mitchell Robinson or Isaiah Hartenstein getting a rebound, and then they pass it back out. Jalen Brunson drives in, gets a foul, gets two shots at the free throw line, makes those two shots at the free throw line, and that's how the Knicks get 2 points. These offensive rebounds have been really helpful in this four-game win streak, and I'd like to give credit to those two centers holding down the fort. As the Knicks are missing one of their big guys, not a center, but Obi Toppin, the power forward. And we might be missing another key player here, and that's Jalen Brunson, who did play 23 minutes in this one, had 18 points, but left the game early with an injury. We'll get to that in a minute. Quickly, 12 points, 2 assists, 4 rebounds in 26 minutes. And Deuce McBride had a little bit of more minutes than normal. He did contribute on the on basically everywhere. I mean, he did. It was a low scoring affair for McBride, but he did have points. Everywhere. And when I mean that, when it comes to or not points everywhere, but he the three main categories of assists, rebounds, and points. He had 5 points. 2 assists, 3 rebounds, but played a decent amount of minutes at 21. So let's go into the injury of Jalen Brunson now, because that is a big deal. They could miss him for some time, and I'll get to the quotes and stuff that came from Tom Thibodeau in the post-game press conference. So Jalen Brunson could not shake off an injury in the game last night. He went down early in the game, but had to continue playing, except the second time on the floor. Again, he did not get up. 9:03 left in the game, Brunson sprained his right ankle while defending a drive, did not return in the game. So apparently, not apparently, but you could see that Sacramento Kings' Davion Mitchell landed on the Brunson's leg. So then he limped to the locker room and was helped off the floor. In addressing the status of Jalen Brunson for the Knicks game on Wednesday against the Chicago Bulls, Thibodeau said, quote, "I don't know if he'll play. To be totally honest, we'll see where he is on Monday. And I'll get a further update from the medical staff when I get back to the locker room." The Knicks, obviously, as we know, like I said earlier, are already without Obi Toppin off the bench for several weeks due to his fracture in his right fibula. So losing Brunson would be really tough. So far this season, he's averaged about 20 points and 6 assists per game. And he's shooting over 45% from the field. So losing our starting point guard that the Knicks, not drafted, but signed in free agency to a big deal, that's going to be tough. Hopefully he doesn't miss too much time, if he does miss any time. Luckily, this is a kind of like a, there's never a perfect time to get injured, but if there's a time where he's going to miss, a period of days or hours of practices, it would be now, when the Knicks are off for about 2 or 3 days until they play in Chicago. So that's the update there. And then one more thing I wanted to talk about before I get to the upcoming schedule for the Knicks, which I already talked about, but I do want to talk a little bit about their couple games in front of them. There's been some reports about Cam Reddish, who ever since he's been traded to the Knicks, there's been rumors about him getting traded away from the Knicks, and it's not fitting, and he doesn't fit in Tom Thibodeau's system, and whatever the deal is with Cam Reddish. So according to SNY, there have been a few reports in the past couple of weeks that Cam Reddish has been, other teams have been interested in the Knicks player. So let's go through that right now. A report over the weekend, so this past weekend, the 11th or 10th and 11th, said that Reddish and its representatives were working with the Knicks to find a trade. The thing is, I don't know if this is true, because I feel like this comes out since last year that Cam Reddish was trying to find a trade out of New York and he wasn't fitting with the system and the Knicks wanted to trade him away, but it never happened. So I just don't know if I can trust these reports. Nothing to wrong with Ian Begley. His credit as a Knicks SNY reporter has been very respected around the NBA and around the Knicks fans. It's nothing against him personally. It's just, I don't know if that's true. I don't know if that's going to happen, because it's been going on for so long, these trade rumors. But anyway, according to Begley's tweet, he said Reddish said he wasn't aware of that development. And of course, obviously, he's not going to say like, "Oh yeah, I'm going to get traded soon." Like, no. And he hadn't requested a trade. Regardless, several teams have expressed interest in trading for Reddish since the Knicks acquired him in January of 2022. So far, it's been the Lakers, the Heat, the Bucks are among teams who reached out to New York. And what's similar about those three teams, they're all trying to chase a championship. They have very good rosters. They're in the top of their, or not in the top, but they're all trying to get up there to that overall goal of winning a championship. And they're hoping that he would be a good piece to their bench, a good chemistry fit. The Los Angeles Lakers, Miami Heat, and Milwaukee Bucks again, the teams that are interested, and have reached out to the New York Knicks. It's worth noting that the Lakers and Knicks talked earlier this month about a potential trade that would have required a third team to complete it. That was actually Shams of the Athletic. Also said that the Lakers are interested in Cam Reddish. So it's not just Ian Begley. But we'll have to see what comes out of that. I don't expect much, but We'll see. We'll see. Maybe something surprises me. Okay. So let's talk about this Knicks upcoming schedule. It's interesting. They got a back-to-back, not days-wise, but against the same opponent. Two in a row in Chicago against the Bulls. Wednesday night, then the Knicks will stay over, practice on Thursday in Chicago, and then play once again in Chicago on Friday night. They're going on a little bit of a, I guess you could say, on the road for a tiny bit of road stand. They're going to play the Bulls for those two nights on Wednesday and Friday, then get another rest day, and then play the Indiana Pacers in Indiana on Sunday evening. So what do I expect from this game? Well, the Chicago Bulls, you know, in past years, or at least last year and year before that, I think they were doing pretty well, right? So far this year, they've been worse than the New York Knicks. Right now, they are 11-15. They're coming off a loss, and they're 9.5 games out of first place. Well, who did they lose to? They actually lost on a buzzer beater against the Atlanta Hawks, funny enough, in overtime last night. When I'm recording this Monday, so Sunday night. I don't know if you saw it, but it was a great buzzer beater with like 0.6 seconds left. The Hawks got it in. They threw it up, and Atlanta went absolutely nuts. Before that one, the Bulls did get a dominant win on Saturday night. They were coming off a back-to-back, if that says anything, but they got a dominant 29-point win, I could say, over the Dallas Mavericks. So, who are some top players on that team? Well, if you remember now, it's DeMar DeRozan, who had 28 points in 32 minutes in that game. A few other guys, including, I'm trying to think who's on that team. Nikola Vucevic and Zach LaVine, I know, right? Patrick Williams, Dragic, Kobe White. I mean, they have a good roster. Derek Jones as well. So just looking at their team, these still are going to be two competitive matchups. And the Knicks on the road again for both games, starting Wednesday night, another one Friday night, and then they travel to Indiana to play the Pacers. This was a quick episode, right? Yeah, I'm just over 12 minutes right now, but you know what? It is what it is. I just wanted to hop on here. Knicks with 4 wins in a row. Let's keep the winning going. Let's keep the episodes going. But I'm super excited and happy about those wins against the Hornets and the Kings. They got it done. The Kings won again for me. It was a little bit up in the air because they played well this season, but the Knicks got it done. They once again played pretty good defense, and I hope Jalen Brunson, as I'm sure you listening, hope Jalen Brunson is not out long term. Anyway, I'll probably record an episode. I'm going to say maybe Saturday after the double two games in a row against the Chicago Bulls in Chicago. But anyway, look forward to doing that. You can, a couple things before I wrap up here, you can subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify. If you want to find more places to listen, go to shipitstudios.com/cityoftheneversleeps. Follow the podcast on Twitter at @TCTNSOfficial. I'm on Twitter at @JoshSolo29. Again, thanks so much for listening. Rate 5 stars. Go New York, go New York, go. And I will see you next time for another episode of the City That Never Sleeps podcast. Peace. Sharper with Hubert, Bonner, Gray, and Harper. It's the Knicks, and we're back on pace. Everyone's gearing up for the championship race, and the fans are going crazy, and they're doing it for a reason. Cause 94 is the Knickerbocker season. You better believe the Knicks got all that takes. We're shooting 3-pointers, and we're running fast breaks. And if your defense makes a mistake, then bam, you ain't dunks in your face. This is a team you don't wanna miss. We are New York. We are the New York Knicks. Go New York, go New York, go. A swish, threes by Starks and dunks by Smith, and no rebounds. If that's the case, we put Oakley and Mace in your face. We draw charges and we set picks. We are New York. We are the New York Knicks. Say go New York, go New York, go.
Welcome to the All 80s Movies Podcast.
I'm Bill.
And I'm Jason, and this is the podcast where we talk about the blockbusters, the flops, and everything in between from one of the freshest decades for movies, the 1980s. So whether you're a brain, a jock, a valley girl, or a Jedi, we've got some 80s classics for you.
Do these movies stand the test of time? Are we discovering something new? Is there an 80s movie we're finally watching for the first time?
Join us each week as we dive into the cinematic nostalgia that inspired and influenced a generation. From the hits to the cult classics, we'll discuss our earliest memories, favorite scenes, fun facts, and our not-so-favorite movie moments, too.
It's the All 80s Movies Podcast, now available on all major streaming platforms. Please subscribe and happy listening.